Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We do have a little breaking news today. Kind of interesting. Colby Wademan, who was undrafted out of the University of California, Davis, UC Davis, the Aggies, in 2017, has been signed to the Broncos practice squad. Why is that significant? He's a punter. And he's a right-footed punter, not a left-footed punter. Dustin Colquitt is a left-footed punter, and during the course of last year, they would bring in some left-footed punters really just for practice. I was amazed that there's just, you know, available people who are left-footed punters just bumping around out there available like on a random Wednesday and Thursday. So he's here, and the details are this for Marquette King. He has $2 million guaranteed this year. $2 million non-guaranteed in 19 and $2 million non-guaranteed in 20. So they're on the hook, Al, for $2 million to Marquette King for this year. But they can get out of it in terms of the, you know, back 2 years if they choose to.
Right, future compensation.
What do you think this is all about? I mean, this is highly unusual. You very, very, very rarely see.
Well, it's not unusual for us in our
never
kicking
happened
department.
Last year with Riley Dixon.
I'm just saying in our kicking department, we have changed place kickers, we've changed punters, we have no longstanding members of our special teams unit involved in the kicks.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in the middle of a season bringing somebody in terms of the specialist. I can't even. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. It just doesn't happen all that often, and very rarely do they just keep a extra kicker, extra snapper, extra, you know, punter on the practice squad. Now, it could mean nothing. It could mean you're on the practice squad 1 week, you're gone the next. You know, I mean, that kind of happens. But
here's the crazy part. Guess where he was earlier in the year?
Who?
Wademan.
Oh, he was with the Raiders. Yeah, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? So what do you think that's all about?
Shape up or ship out.
Okay, so what does that look like?
Well, to me, it's not a big deal because.
Do you think Marquette King's on the verge of being cut by the Broncos?
Could be.
Wow.
Yeah, he could be. I'm telling you, man.
Wow.
The video that was made, the undue attention to, you know, the unnecessary attention towards the organization, the fact that we have a punter that was featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I think, twice in the last 4 months for non-football reasons. I don't, you know, at some point, you're going to get tired of it. And whether this was the punter, whether this was the receiver or the linebacker who was underperforming, yet doing too much in social media, you'd find a way to get rid of them. That's just the way it is in this game. I mean, if you are Antonio Brown and you can, you know, take a 3-yard hitch and turn it into a 40-yard spectacular, okay, we'll deal with you. Okay, but as soon as you cannot do that and you kick up dust, then you're going to be gone. That's the way that this business works. You know, we'll tolerate you as long as you can play. If you can't play, we're not going to tolerate anything.
Kind of the bottom line, right?
That's what the NFL is. I mean, everybody out there who knows the NFL knows that that's what the NFL is.
So if you want a long career in the NFL,
play well.
And keep your head low.
No, just play well. If you play well, there's a spot for you.
So
Adam Jones is still playing in the NFL.
Well, sort of.
I'm just letting you know, he would have, if the Broncos wouldn't have signed him, some team in need of a cornerback would have signed him by now. Trust me, Adam Jones is a good football player. He would have been signed by somebody by now because the cornerback, or should I say the lack of cornerback depth in this league, shows up all the time. And it makes me reevaluate the way that the Cleveland Browns use their draft picks. I mean, Denzel Ward is playing like a Pro Bowl cornerback right now, the number four pick in the draft. Maybe they got it right with the quarterback and the defensive back. You know, maybe the new outside linebacker defensive end is the cornerback. You know, maybe
seems like the Broncos need one right about now.
I mean, when we lost Aqib Talib, we lost a lot of area of the field that we could cover because teams would just not even try, you know, they wouldn't try him. So anyway, it's something that I've paid close attention to. If you can play well in this league, you will have a place to play. Julius Peppers, by the way, is still playing in this league. I think he's close to 34, 35, somewhere in there. Domantas Petko is no spring chicken. Just play well, and you'll always have a place to play.
I think you got
it. Wow, Julius Peppers is 38.
I think there's part of it, too, that you got to be a good mix with all the other fellas, too.
Well, I think that's, you know, you would like to see that. But the most important part is...
Well, you certainly can't be taking away. You can't be a mediocre player and taking away from positive things.
So, well, if you're a mediocre player, they're always trying to get younger in the NFL. But, yeah. But if you're a good player and a known commodity, then you are always welcome.
I think it depends.
What league isn't that true? I mean, we've proven that here with Matt Holliday.
There's a limit to your foolishness, though.
Sure.
You know,
distractions are never good in any league, whether we're talking about the college league or pro league or high school league. Distractions are, you know what? Even the outlandish dad at football practice is unwanted.
And
all of the coaches out there that are still coaching Pop Warner football know exactly what I'm talking about. You know,
sometimes kids get cut not because of them.
No, not because of the kid. You get cut because your dad, man, just keeps on showing up causing problems. That is the definition of unnecessary interference and a disruption of a team value.
Well, we'll see where it goes. Interesting twist to the day, that's for sure. In terms of the power rankings in the AFC, it's pretty simple right now, right? I mean, it's Kansas City, Denver, Chargers, Raiders. I mean, you know, is it anything different than that?
No, nothing different than that.
Yeah, and the Chiefs are, well, we'll dig into them. They're an interesting team, man.
You are so ready to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you got Mahomes love.
It was a wake-up call today. Mahomes.
Come on, Mahomes.
Kid is something else. We know it already. He already beat the Broncos in Denver. It already happened. Last game of the year last year.
The arm strength is ridiculous. Aaron Rodgers-like.
In terms of what we need to do with the cornerback, should the Broncos be pressing the gas for a Patrick Peterson deal? We'll dig into that coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120-0716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
A good question to just say, what would it take to get Patrick Peterson here to the Broncos? Heard Cecil talking about it again. Heard this Oakley show discuss it. Is it crazy to you know, try to work a deal? I don't know where Patrick Peterson is in his contract, but you know, maybe the Cardinals just need to sort of move on. Maybe they need to look for their Denzel Ward, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think the
Is it crazy?
The great cornerbacks are hard to replace. They're almost irreplaceable. And it's so rare for us to have three cornerbacks that were just on fire the last 4 years. So we were in a good position. We were in a good position with the first-round draft pick. and two veterans that knew how to play. And, you know, the rookie basically learned how to play the cornerback position from watching the veterans. So we were in a good position for a long time. I think that we're still in a good position with Yadam. Yadam is a good football player, and he knows what he's doing. I'm not worried about him anymore. He's had a month to sit down, D-Mac, and look at everything and what the NFL is, and he's had a month to just kind of learn what this is.
I gotcha, but you wouldn't want to have Patrick Peterson on the team?
Not if it means giving up a first-round draft pick, no.
Well, I mean, what did the Rams give up for Marcus Peters?
Second round.
Well, can we float that?
A second round, yeah, we can do that. Second and fourth.
Who would you rather have as a corner, Patrick Peterson or Marcus Peters?
Say that again?
Who would you rather have as a corner, Marcus Peters or Patrick Peterson?
Marcus Peters.
Okay. Then what about floating a second and a fourth? For Patrick Peterson.
We're not in that window. We're not in the same window. We need all of our highly drafted players that we can have.
Don't want Patrick Peterson?
I just don't know.
No better guy out there.
When we traded for Champ Bailey, Champ was going into his sixth year.
Mm-hmm.
So Patrick Peterson's going into his eighth year. How many more years are you thinking we got of great play out of Patrick Peterson?
It's a good question. Three?
Are we in that window?
You tell me?
I don't know yet.
You told me we were a playoff team. By your definition,
10 and 6,
the answer
11-5, but I don't think that we're
that would be the window. Yes.
I don't know. I don't think we are right now.
Well, Al, are we a playoff team or are we not?
I think
if we're not a playoff team, I'm going to agree with you. If we are a playoff team, that's going to be an important thing.
Listen. Getting to the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl is something totally different. We're not in a Super Bowl window right now. We're in a playoff window. So do you salvage everything for a playoff window?
I think if we're a playoff team, you do. If we're not a playoff team, you don't. I think it's pretty simple, actually.
I don't know enough about Case Keenum and how far we could take it in the playoffs, because the last time we saw Case Keenum in a playoff game, he was awful. I mean, he was really awful. And he got really lucky the game before that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I don't know if he is that big baller type guy in the playoffs that we are looking for. If he was that guy, let's just say that guy was, in comparison, Andy Dalton. Okay, let's just say that Case Keenum, instead of being Case, he was Andy Dalton. And we had Andy Dalton on this team.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, go do that move for Patrick Peterson. Because we know that there's...
So while you believe in the Broncos, you really don't believe in them that much.
I think that they're 10-6, 11-5. I told you that we're not a Super Bowl contender this year.
We're a year away, at least.
We're not a Super Bowl contender this year.
So
I would be I would be so happy if we were. But we are a playoff team.
So at 10-6, we're drafting 18, 19, 20, something like that.
Can this team go on the road and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars?
The Titans just won.
I know, but I'm asking you.
Titans just beat them.
I know. I understand that. But do you think that this team is a team that goes on the road and beats the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Dude, we're 1-8 in our last 9 road games. I don't know who we can beat on the road.
Well, then that
who can we beat on the road?
Therefore, you can't make that trade.
Well, okay. I'm fine with that, because I always thought first round next year was going to be about corner or linebacker no matter what.
It could be about quarterback.
Oh, my God. It better not be.
Why?
Oh, my Lord. It better not be.
If we found a wild guy, you wouldn't want that guy?
What's our record going to be, Al?
10-6, 11-5.
Where are we drafting?
Somewhere in the 20s.
And you want to take a quarterback in the 20s?
Just because you have information that says...
The historical data to show what a bust that is?
But your information is okay for 32.
Yes.
You know what? Whatever. I'm taking a good quarterback wherever I can get him.
You think there's going to be a high-quality, franchise-type of quarterback that's going to make it all the way to the 20s?
I don't know.
The answer is no.
But the thing
there's
is...
There's not going to be.
But even if he does... who said that we're going to pick it in the 20s? Who said that we don't do...
You are. You just said we're 11-5.
But listen. If we're 10-6, 11-5...
We're in the 20s.
Okay. We may have to do what other teams had done in the past, like the Kansas City Chiefs, and trade up and missed two first-round draft picks.
You're right about that. You'd have to give up draft picks like they did to move up to get Mahomes.
Right, so that's the way you look at that. You don't look at it any other way because...
I would just shake my head and say, wow, we didn't actively pursue four
Which one of those guys that you really love?
Any one of them would have been fine. They're all starters. Let me, it's the 1983 draft
Hold on. Which one of those guys that you really believe in?
I believe in all of them.
I know you believe in
all
Baker Mayfield.
I believe in Baker Mayfield. Love Mayfield.
Thought that we could get him much later.
The guy I believe the least in was actually Josh Rosen.
But I believe the most in Josh Rosen.
I know. So I would have taken any of them. 1983, baby. 1983.
I think what we got out of Chubb is...
okay. I'm not the one that just said draft a quarterback in the 20s. You are.
I didn't say draft a quarterback in the 20s. I said draft a quarterback.
To me, this
was... You said in the 20s.
Well, that's because that's where you said we're going to be.
I said we're going to be 10-6. I didn't say that we draft them in the 20s. I told you that the possibility is to move up into...
Well, if we were going to move up... Next year, why the hell didn't we just move up this year?
Who's the guy? Who's the guy that you
Darnold.
Love?
Why did we let the Jets get ahead of us with the Colts? Why didn't we do a deal with the Colts?
You move what picks? This year's first-round draft pick?
What did the Colts move? What did the Jets move?
I bet you they gave up two first-round draft
picks. Okay, give up two first-round draft picks. Patrick
didn't
Mahomes.
They start off at pick number six. I think they had pick number six behind
Who?
Us.
The Colts?
The Jets.
No, yeah, they were behind us. They got ahead of us.
So they must have gave up at least two first-round draft picks.
Okay. Mahomes is going to be the quarterback for the Chiefs for the next decade, minimum. So is Darnold, so is Mayfield, so is Allen, so is Rosen for their franchises. Not sure about Jackson, we'll see. But those five players are their franchise quarterbacks for the next decade.
Well, here's what I know.
The end.
Here's what I know. We don't know how those quarterbacks are going to work out. And next year's bunch of quarterbacks, we haven't even started evaluating yet.
We're two years behind then, Al.
So
we're
two years behind what?
So are we giving up on Case Keenum then?
No, I'm just saying that if there is somebody that wows you.
Oh, my God. It's got to be corner or linebacker. We made a commitment to Keenum. We have a plan. Stick to the plan.
Dude. If you're not paying attention.
I'm not paying attention. Todd. Don't tell me I'm not paying attention. Nobody's paying more attention than I am.
We just drafted an outside linebacker with the number five pick when we had two first-round linebackers.
Well, we're going to lose Brandon Marshall. He's going to be gone.
What?
Brandon Marshall will be gone next year, and Todd
Davis.
I'm talking
about Shane Ray.
Shane Ray is going to be gone next year.
Yeah, you know what? And you know what? That could be the same case for Case Keenum. It could be a 2-year contract.
For who?
For somebody unknown right now to us at quarterback.
Okay.
So don't think just because you have a guy on your team that you cannot.
I can't wait for next year. That's going to be fascinating.
You can't. You know, we stacked players already. We stacked it outside linebacker.
Hey, listen, we can't win on the road. We'll be back in the top 10 drafting anyway. So I mean,
you got to win. Yeah, you got to win four games on the road.
We're sitting at 6-10. We'll be drafting like 9 or something. You know, it'll be like that.
You like my Snicker bar?
Punted.
That's what we did a lot of.
On Saturday, or Sunday rather, we did punt a lot.
Yeah. Punted.
We punted a lot. All right, anyways. Next year is next year. I brought up Patrick Peterson because I'm like focused on this year. And now you're giving me some hesitations about it's not worth it. So
not
I
this
mean,
year.
To me, if I thought it was about winning this year. I thought it was about being in the playoffs this year.
Do we stack up like the Rams?
Aqib Talib's going to be out for quite a while now. There's no way he's going to be ready for the game against the Broncos. Isn't that a bummer?
He's having surgery.
Yeah.
Per rap sheet, he's going to go under the knife here Thursday.
Yeah, so he'll be out at least, what, a month? He'll miss the Broncos game.
Sorry to see that. One of my favorite guys.
Do we stack up like the Rams? No, we do not.
Well, then don't make the deal.
Okay. Well, we stack up like the Ravens. We're a team
what?
That we stack up like the Bengals. We stack up like the Chargers.
Hold on.
We stack up like other playoff teams.
Hold on. We stack up like the Ravens?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're not that much better than us. That's for sure.
At the quarterback position, they are.
Yeah, okay, fine. Alfred, there's like 20 teams that stack up better than us at the quarterback position. You realize that, right? The Kansas City is one of them. I didn't think they were. They are. And you know that's true. We'll take a break. When we do, we'll cleanse our breath and our palate with Patrick Saunders, because there's huge baseball to be played down at Coors Field tonight, and the Rockies are on a roll. We'll preview the matchup next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Wild drive to center field. That'll drop. Here comes Chuck Nasty with run number one. DJ goes first to third. You know what the Rockies are when they score first this year?
15-17.
Of course not. Broken back single. RBI number 104 for Nolan. 1-0 Colorado.
Patrick Saunders is our Rockies insider. He writes for the Denver Post. Presented by Rox Heating and Air. ROX, Rox Heating and Air. Well, that's quite a stat, huh? You score first, you win by that margin. That's pretty insane, Patrick, huh?
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, baseball has so many of those crazy stats. it kind of overwhelms you sometimes. But yeah, that is kind of remarkable.
How was John Gray after the game last night? I hope you felt better.
He does. And I spoke to him again today. You know, what he told me today, which was really cool, was that, we've been through this so many times this year, guys, but he basically said two things. He trusted himself, which sometimes I don't think he does. And he just pitched is the way he expressed it to me. He didn't think about all the mechanics. He didn't think about what could happen, what should happen. He just pitched. And he said, you know, I felt a little bit last night kind of like I was back in college.
Cool.
And that's cool. A good sign, because when John's back, you know, he was dominant.
Oh, he was unbelievable, Oklahoma, yeah.
And, you know, the thing that was so good about him last night was he worked fast. He trusted his slider, which he has not trusted in a long time. And he poured in his fastball, which was great, because I think, in my opinion, I thought he was getting too cute. He's a power guy. And I thought he was overdoing the soft stuff. So it was good to see him. And he really is a really good guy. And, you know, you hate to see guys like that fail, but let's face it, when the pressure was on, he was not coming through.
Well, his teammates certainly helped him by just putting up some runs, because
they sure did.
When you're down, like you're the Phillies and you're down, the at-bats go differently. And there's the games that he's been pitching poorly in, I don't know if they had the lead in any of them, or if they did, it was by one, maybe two runs, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, that's true. The last, three starts prior to this, that's true. Now, early in the season, before he got shipped down to Triple A for that tune-up, it didn't matter, you know, when he was pitching. Yeah, he was just all over the place. But, you know, if they're going to do anything here, you know, going forward, not even this year, but even in the next year, he's a very talented guy, and they need him to fulfill his potential.
Here we go down the stretch, Patrick. Now we are looking like an NFL football season, because we're talking about in 7 days, this thing could be all done, all over with, and we could be on our way, or we could be playing October 2nd in the wild card, or we could be playing, if things work out in a regular playoff spot, running the NL West for the first time. This is so exciting, man. This is exciting enough to grab an old football guy like me and force me to watch, you know, baseball on a night when Monday Night Football is going on. This is, I think, what everybody wants but can't feel it until it's late in the year. What did we miss? What did we miss so far to get to this? If you had to explain it to brand new Colorado Rocky fans that are just starting to come on to them right now with 6 games remaining?
That's a great question. I think I would say most likely the best starting pitching the team has ever had. I guess statistically you could make a case for 2010 or 2009, but the starting pitching, the young starting pitching has been simply remarkable. Good, talented, fun team to watch, athletic, drives you a little crazy sometimes because they don't hit as well as you'd hope they would, and one of the best defenses in the National League. To me, that's what kind of sum up how they've gotten where they've gotten.
Okay, talk to us about Chad Bettis. Where are we at with him as a starter?
Well, we're looking at maybe 50 pitches tonight.
Oh, we're going to piece it together tonight, huh? That's the plan?
Bullpen night?
Yeah, it is a bullpen night. Chad is not stressed out enough to go beyond probably three innings would be the max.
Interesting. Interesting night,
but
then.
Of course, yeah, but he's not going to, you know, he didn't lay out for us who follows up Chad because that's giving away his game plan.
Okay.
But so you're going to see, you can see as many as, let's see, three, say many as five guys before you get to the ninth inning tonight if they need them.
Okay.
So, but you know what? That's where they are because Tyler Anderson's shoulder's hurt. You know, and Chad is certainly capable of giving them three strong innings. And if the offense can score early, they'll be sitting pretty. So, you know, Chad, you know, it's kind of a funny story. I asked Bud Black today about it. We all know what Chad went through with the cancer. Came back, had that great story, and then he comes back this year and he loses his starting job to Antonio Sensatella.
Right.
Yet Chad has remained who Chad is, and that is the ultimate team guy, do whatever he wants, whatever he can to help the team. You know, I know Chad, and I've talked to him about this. He wants to be a starter. He thinks he's a big league starter.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not pouting. He's not, you know, he's just saying, okay, you know, this is my team. I got to help us get where we want to go. I'll do whatever's asked. And tonight it's give them three strong innings out of the gate.
Hey, have you ever asked Bud about that strategy about pitching a closer or an eighth inning guy like Ottavino to start the game before you hand it over to, say, Chad Bettis? Have you ever talked to Bud about that?
We have. It's been asked of him multiple times this
okay.
year. You know, the Rays did it a bunch. Who else did it last? Somebody did it last night. I can't remember who.
Oh, did they really? Well, I mean, I bring it up because that's kind of compelling, right? Like, what if you started Ottavino tonight and then you put Chad in the third inning, theoretically starting with the bottom of their order, something like that?
That's very compelling. And considering the Rockies' track record in the first inning is awful. I mean, their pitchers, it's the worst inning for them. They give up, last I looked, it was 7.7-something ERA in the first inning. So, he's not dismissing that idea or the experiment of it, but he likes to put the starters in command from the very beginning. He likes that idea, and Buddy likes the late-game chess match. So I don't think he looks down on it. It's just something he's never wanted to embrace.
Patrick, I got to ask you, as we begin to wind down the season, and we've seen most of the body of the work for this starting pitching staff, we get penalized here for all the home runs we hit, and it seems that the rest of the baseball community has very little respect for our power numbers. But when it comes to pitching, it's not reversed. Is Kyle Freeland a Cy Young candidate and a legitimate Cy Young candidate to win this year?
Let me say it this way. You're exactly right when there's a double standard. I don't think it's fair for the national media to penalize Rockies hitters for playing in a very hitter-friendly ballpark and then turn around and ignore the fact that Kyle Freeland has put together a 2.26 ERA at home. But the bottom line of your question, he's not going to win the Cy Young. He may get votes and put him fourth. And truthfully, guys, if you look at the numbers, and I'm talking strikeouts versus walks, ERA, whip, all that stuff. If I had a Cy Young vote, and I don't, I would love to vote for Kyle Freeland, but I probably would not.
No. You want to give it to a guy like DeGrom with the Mets, whose team is 15 games out of first place.
If I had a vote, I would probably give it to Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer has a chance this year, guy, for 300 strikeouts. Huge, low ERA. I think he's 10 away. He, to me, and I'm not knocking down Kyle Freeland, but Max Scherzer, to me, remains the most dominant pitcher in the National League. And he would get my vote, but I would certainly give Kyle some votes. But to your point, I think he should certainly at least be in the discussion. And on a national basis, until the last couple weeks or so, he was largely ignored. People didn't even know who he was outside of the Rocky Mountain region. So that's my answer. I don't know if you guys agree, but that's my answer.
All right. Well, you know,
169 strikeouts this year for Kyle Freeland.
Patrick knows the ins and out of baseball 10,000 times better than we do. So we'll definitely roll.
No doubt, we'll defer to you.
Yes.
But it just seems like it seems like Kyle Freeland is having a very special year.
No doubt.
It's unbelievable, guys. He has a chance to be the best pitcher in Rockies history. But and then you look on the back side of that too, and look at Ramon Marquez. I mean, he has a chance. He's got one more start. He's at 210 strikeouts. He most likely will have more strikeouts than any pitcher in the Rockies history for a single season this year. And he is 23 years old. That's pretty damn good.
Okay. Is the number 90 to get in?
What are we at now? 86. I don't have the number.
For 86.
Boy, are you talking about playoffs?
I just want to get in the playoffs. I want to give the ball to Marquez or Freeland. Bud can make the choice, whoever he wants.
Left. I think they need to go 4-2 to get in.
Okay. I think so, too.
Yeah, I think so, because I think St. Louis, they got the Brewers and they got the Cubs. That's the door that's opening for the Rockies, it appears. But, God, guys, I'd love them to knock off the Dodgers. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, it's funny, on my podcast recently, I said after the Rockies got swept in L.A. on my podcast, I said they have no chance to win the division. Apparently Bud Black heard that because he called me out in group today about that, which was kind of fun. But Buddy and the team still thinks there's a shot, particularly because...
Well, I mean, the numbers are crushing because, you know, the Dodgers are at 88. See, they've got two more wins, 88 and 69. So what are we talking about? 157, right? How's my math? Yeah. So they only...
They would have to get huge help from... The D-backs would have to beat them at least once, and the Giants probably have to beat them twice in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to go 1-1. They only have five games left, man. I mean, they'd have
five,
to...
Yeah.
So it's very doubtful, but games. God, I would love it.
Yeah, that would be great. It. All right, thank you, Patrick.
Watching again.
Appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
Okay. Bye. Yeah, that's going to be tough. Yeah, because if the Rockies go 4-2, which would be exceptional, that gets them to 90 wins. Well, the Dodgers are at 88 right now. I mean, five games to go. I don't know.
We had our chance.
Yeah, we did.
We look right at
That's
them.
Okay. I just want to get to the playoffs.
I get you.
Get to the playoffs and then give the ball to, you know, Marquez or Freeland, whoever you want, whoever you trust the most, and just let's get there. Let's get there. And then let's beat everybody. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I had a laugh listening to our terrific morning show today. It's called Squatty by Mark Schlereth.
He called you Squatty Body?
Squatty, yeah.
Squatty Body.
I suppose he's right.
It's better than them calling me Flabbio.
Okay. But they were laughing because they said, well, you, Mike Evans, you sound like D-Mac. And I wasn't sure what exactly was making Mike sound like me. Smart. But these guys are a riot. These two are they're a piece of work. Well, they are pulling so hard for the quarterbacks out of this draft class to be failures. It's comical. And then they've got everybody kind of it's a radio technique. When you want to bring up a topic that you kind of agree with and you're wondering about, it's common to bring it up and shoot it down. Because when you bring it up and shoot it down, you know it's a long shot, but still it's a way for you to sort of get the conversation going. So what they were doing in their little morning show games was talking about how outrageous it was that so many people on the text line were talking about Chad Kelly playing. I can see through your little veneer. I see what you're doing there. What you're doing is you're priming the pump to say there might be some sort of other option besides Case Keenum. And it does feel like they're getting ready for, you know, we should draft a quarterback sort of talk. And maybe if we don't draft, maybe we really should try Chad Kelly. And the whole thing is, no, Chad Kelly, no. It's preposterous to think that you're getting Chad Kelly ready at this moment. It is so unbelievably dumb. The starter for the Denver Broncos is Case Keenum. Period. The end. You pushed all your chips into the middle of the table. You really did believe in Paxton Lynch. It's why you didn't draft anybody. And Chad Kelly just is there after the rubble has hit the ground, Al, because Paxton Lynch imploded. By the way, how's things going for Paxton Lynch today? I heard Big Sexy Matt Moore was turning down chances to work out.
He turned down workouts with the 49ers and with the Titans. Not sure if he's going to stay retired or if he's just waiting for the right spot.
So Matt Moore is turning opportunity down, and Paxton Lynch is still unemployed. Amazing.
Paxton actually worked out today for the Jaguars.
Tell me that. He worked out for the Jaguars today. How many teams has Paxton Lynch worked out for? Oh, boy. So get over the whole, you know, Chad Kelly thing. Chad Kelly is only there in case if Case Keenum gets hurt. That's it. No. I'm not rolling with you on that. I'm not rolling on the little sneaky, let's talk about Chad Kelly sort of, you know, look at all these texts. I could be talking about, hey, Al, look at all these texts we have about that 800-pound elephant that we have in the back of the room.
What room? That's who I am. That's who I am.
We're in it with Case Keenum, fellas, everybody.
Yeah, that's it.
He's our guy. You're not going to catch me, like, you know, pining away for somebody who's not on the roster at Chad Kelly. No, you listen, we're here to kind of pump Chad Kelly or Case Keenum up, right?
I'm just telling you who he is as a player. Every time I get a chance to see him, I'm more excited about him than any other quarterback since Peyton Manning.
Now, unfortunately, he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. He's not as good as a lot of quarterbacks out there, but he's our guy. He's our guy. He's Case Keenum. He's nobody different, Al. We've known about Case Keenum since he was in college. We've known since he was undrafted. We know since he's bumped around the league. We know he was the quarterback who threw a hell of a lucky pass against the Saints. We know he's the same guy who fell apart in the NFC Championship game. But we know he's the guy that, you know, he's got some chutzpah. He's Case Keenum. It is what it is, and if you're not behind him, then I don't know what you're thinking. Because everybody loved the Bradley Chubb pick.
The Bradley Chubb pick made sense. It really made sense. The quarterback, like you said, if we were going to make a move, if we felt froggy, we should have jumped for Sam Darnold. Oh, yeah! It felt that good. And you know what? He got his first sack last week, first full sack. So, you know, we'll go about our business as normal. Our outsides of our linebacker, of our defense has been set now for the next 7 years. So we're good, you know, so we can kind of relax and not ever worry about that again until, you know, some later date. And we have to always worry about cornerback because
it's
a position of need for most NFL teams. To come up on a guy like Isaac Yiadom and have him sit for the first month of the football season is okay because you know that he's talented and you know that he's, you know, he's a guy who was a captain and you know that he can play the game. And the communication between him and Justin Simmons is going to be as good as anybody out there or Darian Stewart because – he wants to be that guy, and I think that he's going to be good. So we just now have to go in and insert him and not worry about bad things happening. Passes get caught on guys all the time. It's how you play the game when the game is the most important and it's on the line. And I still feel good about the secondary, but we have to put them to the test. We have to make sure who our guys are early on by consistently putting pressure on the defense, on the offense by putting more guys in the rush than they have the block, which means that those cornerbacks don't have all this time to cover, and then we won't be talking about these quarterbacks that we may have missed on because, you know what, it wouldn't matter because we're doing the right things for our offense, for turnovers and everything else. We play too much of a cautious defense And because of that, teams are putting points on the board, which forces us to be a different team offensively. We need to press it every single time, and we won't be having this these conversations about quarterbacks many more times this year.
Yeah, it's done. It is done. If we have
I don't
to
understand
go-
why I don't understand why anybody would bring up, you know, the other quarterbacks.
Well,
that were
let's
in the draft.
Ask Mark Schlereth about that right now. Mark?
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
I know there's a lot of you. You mean well. You're excited about Chad Kelly. Heck, he's the bloodlines. You know, he's got the all-star uncle and Jim Kelly Hall of Famer, and he was unbelievable in the preseason. I get all that. You know, it's exciting. I understand. I mean, woohoo! Don't forget that coming out of college, Case Keenum was that same thing. Set the record in Houston at college. You know, he's slinging all around the ballpark. He had more yards than anybody who's ever played the game. Yada, 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 yada. And then he went on six-year journeyman duty. I mean, not jury duty, journeyman duty. Before he finally got his break after years of competing, after years of backing up, after years of learning football. If you're pulling the plug on Case Keenum right now because he's thrown five picks, then you're pulling the plug on the Denver Broncos 2018 season. That's what you're doing. You're basically saying, hey, forget it. Let's see if Chad Kelly becomes the quarterback we think he might be able to become because we saw him play in a couple preseason games in 2020. That's what you're saying. So just relax for a minute and let this kid in Keenum continue to develop in an offense that is brand new for all 11 starters, people. I'm just saying, wait a minute, because it's going to take some time, and let number four continue to get his cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.